Hi, and welcome to episode one of the TST Travel Podcast. My name is Harley Tindall, and I'll be your host. This podcast will be all about our world trip. So myself and my girlfriend Kirsten are headed off on a world trip for as long as our money will last us. So this is episode one of the podcast, which will be a little bit about myself and Kirsten, a little bit about where we've been so far and what got us into traveling so far. So this podcast will take you through. We'll start off in the US, and then we'll be traveling through Canada up to Alaska, then back down through the US through Central South America. Our plan is to head over to Europe, do the UK, Europe, Africa, and then come home to Australia through Asia. So thanks for listening, and hope you enjoy. So a little bit about our plan. So we're planning, Kirsten and I are planning to road trip around the US for around sort of 6 to 8 months, and then from there go through Central and South America. So the first little bit of our plan, we'll be starting in LA, of course, flying in from Australia, driving across to Las Vegas, and then we'll be linking up with some friends in the Midwest and heading down to the lakes of the Ozark for a bit of party time. So a little bit about where we come from and what makes us want to travel. I grew up traveling around from a long time, from a young age, and never sort of really knew any different. I started growing up in Central Victoria, in the south of Australia, and then moved up to Queensland throughout the start of my younger life through primary school or elementary school. And then we ended up actually moving over to England, and that's where I caught my travel bug from initially. When we lived in England, we used the advantage of being a lot closer to some of those European countries that you don't get in Australia. Sort of the only thing that you could travel to that was close was the Pacific Islands or Bali, which wasn't such a done thing back in the late 90s, early 2000s. It's obviously exploded with popularity now. But yeah, living in England was a big key to what started off my enthusiasm for travel. So when we lived over in England, our first family holiday, I think we scored some very cheap Ryanair or something like that, budget airline flights across to Norway. It was the middle of winter. I don't have a whole heap of memories from that first trip over there. I remember standing on the top of a Viking longship. I remember it being very, very cold and very dark because we're over there in winter, of course, which is something that I hadn't experienced in Australia. Of course, our seasons aren't that, they don't affect our daylight hours as much. We still usually get 8 to 10 hours of daylight no matter what time of year it is, and for it to only be daylight for the middle couple of hours during the day there was a bit of an eye-opener for a young kid from Queensland. I do remember a very cruel prank that my parents played on me. We walked past a big open-air ice skating rink where there were some young people out playing ice hockey, and I was like, oh, can I go out and play ice hockey with them? And my dad goes, yeah, make sure you get a rig running start to get yourself out into the middle of the ice skating rink. And, of course, I did that at no hesitation, ran as fast as I could and hit the ice. And I think I slid for about 30 or 40 metres along the ice on my back before I managed to come to a stop. And then once I come to a stop, it was quite funny for the people watching 12 or 13-year-old trying to stumble his way back in sneakers 50 metres on ice that he'd never walked on before, but that was pretty funny for everyone. So that was sort of my only memories of going across to Norway there. But we did travel to a few different places when we lived in the UK. We headed across the Irish Sea, across to Dublin there, and the first time I'd ever got on a ocean-bearing ferry, and that was an interesting sort of experience as well. Pretty heavy seas coming out of the town there, and the whole family was quite ill on the trip over, but we knew we were sort of not there for too long. It was an interesting trip, and I can't say that I'm a massive fan of ferries now. I've only ever been on the one, but would definitely be looking at some calmer seas or maybe a bigger cruise ship next time I head out on the open water. The other couple of places we travelled from, the one that I think I have the most memories from would be when we travelled over to Turkey. Again, got some cheap flights, and I think we only went over there for a week or two. But as a young kid, again, who'd only ever really been around the coast on Queensland or in the middle of the country, in Victoria, it was an interesting sort of experience to head over to Turkey. We landed in a military airbase, and there was lots of very large men, or what I remember to be very large men, holding machine guns. As we came into land, we're in the Mediterranean side of Turkey there, and we got to the airport, and something that I didn't probably fully appreciate as a kid, but it's made us giggle a few times around the dinner table. When we were flying in, the flight attendant came over and told us all that we'd need to have £10 in our passports to pay the customs fee and get through customs in Turkey. Once we landed, we all had our £10 in each of our passports, and we got up to the desk and presented our passports. And the man behind the desk, who spoke no English, sort of just looked at my dad and shook his head and started speaking in Turkish. And, of course, Dad didn't understand. So then he pulled out the passports and opened them up to where the money was, and the customs official just pointed at the money. And then my dad sort of went, oh, well, we don't know what we're going to have to do here. This is a bit sketchy. There's big no smoking signs everywhere, and the two guards at the edge of the customs desk are holding machine guns and smoking cigars. And, pointing at the money. So my dad just had got some Turkish lira out before we left England. I think he had probably equivalent to £700 or £800 in his wallet, and the man behind the desk just grabbed all their passports, grabbed the money and ran away with them. And we were sort of standing there at the customs desk. Mum and Dad are looking in a bit of a state of panic, didn't quite know what to do. He's just taken all of the spending money for our week in Turkey and taken all four of our passports and run off with them. So we're standing there for a little while, getting a little bit antsy. And then a little bit later, the man shows up with our four passports all stamped and sort of waved us away. And my dad grabbed my mother and my sister and I, and away we went. My mum's sort of sticking around trying to argue with the customs guy about the £700 that he'd just taken out of the old man's wallet. And Dad was a little bit less concerned with that and a little bit more concerned with just getting out of the airport and getting to our hotel. So all's well that ended well. We ended up on the streets of Marmaris in Turkey, which is a beautiful little Mediterranean city. And we actually got there on International Children's Day, which was interesting to say the least. My little sister had very, very blonde hair at the time and of course, blue eyes. And we were walking down the boardwalk there near the beach in one of our first days in Turkey, and a lady was walking towards us. And, of course, we didn't know the customs or the traditions over there, and they're very friendly towards kids and other people's kids. And this lady just picks up three or four year old sister, much to the horror of both of our parents, just picks her up and starts stroking her hair and talking to her in Turkish. And it just goes to show that there's a little bit of that cultural difference there, where if someone did that in a Western country, it'd probably be frowned upon now. But yeah, she was just talking in Turkish, and I think our guide ended up telling us that she was telling her that she was very pretty and beautiful and all that sort of stuff. But it was an interesting experience nonetheless. Another interesting memory that I have from our time in Turkey was we were walking down the street, and a lot of the vendors there will just grab you and pull you into their shops and get you to have a look at what they sell and try to sell the tourists. That being where we were was quite a touristy area, and you're walking along and every shop you go into you get a glass of apple tea to sip on, and of course you need to have a toilet break every couple of stores because it goes straight through you being the apple tea. And we walked into one store, and the gentleman there was telling my dad how he had real leather jackets, and how if it was real leather, you could tell it was real leather because it wouldn't catch fire. My dad then proceeded to try on the leather jacket, and the fella that was the owner of the store pulled out a large cotton bud, dipped it in some kerosene, and then lit it on fire and started whacking the jacket, saying, "See, look, real leather, doesn't burn, real leather, you buy it now." So an interesting little marketing technique, smacking your customers around the jacket with a flaming cotton wool bud, but nonetheless, it seemed to work, and I think he ended up coming away with that jacket just so he didn't smack him again with another bit of fire. So they're not shy on fire there either. He also, I remember we went into a traditional sort of Turkish barbershop, and we were amazed to see a guy getting a shave done, and then again they dipped a long cotton bud into some sort of flammable liquid. I'm assuming it would be something like kerosene or something like that, and dipped it in there and whacked this, set it on fire and whacked this chap around the ears with it and around the nose, and apparently that's the best way to get the ear and nose hairs out. So if you're in Turkey and you're going to get a shave done, make sure that when they tip the cotton wool bud into the kerosene that you know that you're about to probably get whacked around the ears with a flaming poker. So another little interesting tidbit about when we were in Turkey, we were walking along a boardwalk and just constantly, we're on our way as a family out to try and get some dinner, and these vendors just kept pulling us into all their stores and trying to get us to come in and buy rugs and things like that. And I think we had maybe one suitcase between the whole family, so we weren't going to be paying extra to ship a whole rug home. But you want to be polite in a different country, so we entertained the first few, and then as we're walking along, we're getting hungrier and hungrier, and we told the remaining vendors that we told them, no, look, oh, well, we're just on our way out to get dinner now. When we come back through, we'll stop and get there and have a chat to you about your whatever you're selling, your rugs or whatever it was. And as we were getting back, my dad, as I said, I was probably about 12 or 13 at the time, my dad grabbed me and said, all right, what I want you to do is start running, and no matter what I say, don't stop running until we get to the end of wherever the pier was. And this was just happened to be just where all the shop owners and such were. And I took off running, and he's yelling at me saying, stop, come back here, stop running. Still running. I got to the end, and he goes, good job. And I realized at the end that we'd just run past all of the vendors that had been hassling us on the way through. So if you have kids or you have a mate who can outrun you, there's a little tip to get past a busy strip of vendors. Also, another thing from our time in Turkey, we got a car. This is long before sort of Uber or anything like that. We had a car organised for us. It was an old Ford Cortina, and we were going down the street, and I realised that if you pulled the floor mats up, you could see down to the road beneath us. So not the most high-quality car getting around, but got us from A to B. It was a little bit of an interesting trip, though. Also, the driver decided the quickest way to get where we were going was the wrong way up a one-way street. And again, another thing that I probably didn't fully appreciate as a kid, but we were going down the one-way street flat out and got to the end of it, and there was a police officer there, and the driver and the police officer had a little bit of a disagreement and yelling and such back and forth at each other. And they say that there's one thing that you can understand in every language, and that's fuck you. And I'm pretty sure there was a few fuck yous thrown around between the driver and the police officer there. And in the end, we ended up just driving past the police officer, and that was the last we heard of it. So I'm not sure if he would have copped a fine or something like that from the couple that were standing at the end of the runway street. But we got down to where we wanted to be in the end anyway. One of the other places we went to whilst we were living in the UK, we were living in a little village sort of about 45 minutes away from Manchester, and we took a Christmas road trip up to Scotland. So we drove the car from our place down in Knutsford all the way up to Glasgow, where we picked up a Winnebago and cruised on up towards the Scottish Highlands. So as we were driving, it was funny, actually, I remember talking with our neighbours just before we left to head up to Glasgow, and it's about a 4 or 5 hour drive, I think it was, which is nothing for us here in Australia to drive three or four hours to get to a destination. And they're asking us how many days we're going to take to get there, and We're like, we'll probably do it just in the afternoon. But yeah, we headed up to the Scottish Highlands, and I think we picked the Winnebago up on 2 or 3 days before Christmas and cruised up towards the mountains there. And we actually got the first snow just on Christmas morning there. So it was the first time myself or my little sister had ever seen snow, and it just so happened to be on Christmas morning, which was pretty nice. And a pretty fancy Winnebago Christmas lunch we had there. I think my sister and I had baked beans on toast, and my mum and dad had Spam on toast or something like that for Christmas lunch, which is a little bit different to the feast you usually get at home of roast and roast vegetables and chicken and things like that. So it was an interesting little Christmas, but it was beautiful to drive through those Scottish Highlands, visiting all the old castles and such, which was really nice. And along we went. All right, so that'll just about do us for episode one of the podcast. Just a nice, short, sharp, sweet one to let you know who I am and sort of what you can expect from the podcast moving forward. The ones in the future will probably be a little bit longer, just still trying to find my feet with the podcasting side of things and getting good quality content out. So they will be a little bit longer in future. The next episode, I'll introduce you to Kirsten. You can get to know a little bit about her and her blog, The Roaming Street. And from there, we'll take you through some of the trips that we've done together since we started dating. So looking forward to putting out some more content and looking forward to sharing with you guys. Thanks. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.